Chapter 21. Forsell's head lolled on Avery's shoulder. The oxen recruit had passed out almost immediately after the grease bucket's maglev paddles engaged the number two strand. Over the course of 4 seconds, the bucket had tripled the rate of its ascent. The resulting G-forces were extreme, nothing the recruits were prepared to handle. Avery only managed to stay conscious by utilizing training he'd undergone for HEV orbital drops, squeezing his knees together and regulating his breathing to keep blood from pooling in his legs. The bucket was a squat cylinder comprised of 2 C-shaped halves. Curved clear windows in its inner wall provided a 360-degree view of the strand, currently a golden blur. The bucket's cramped interior was only rated for a crew of 4, but Jotun All-in-Ones had removed the controls and monitors for the bucket's crab-like maintenance arms and managed to make room for 12 seats, each one stripped from abandoned sedans in Utgard. The seats were arranged side by side, facing away from the cable so Avery and his recruits could make their way to the bucket's single hatch as quickly as possible once they docked with the Tiara.
"Commander, you still with me?"
Avery growled into his throat mic after righting Forsell's head. He didn't want the recruit to wake with a crick in his neck, and not just because it would affect his aim.
"Barely," Jalon radioed from her bucket. "Healy's hanging tough. Das, too. Yours?"
"All out cold."
When Captain Ponder had tasked Avery with retaking the Tiara, he'd asked for volunteers. The mission was extremely dangerous, and Avery knew there would be casualties. But he ended up getting more volunteers than he had seats. A mix of recruits from 1st Platoon's 3 squads. Every one of them, Forsell, Jenkins, Anderson, Wick, even a married man like Das, was willing to risk his life to give their families, friends, and neighbors a chance to escape the alien onslaught. As Avery's bucket passed through Harvest's stratosphere and air friction fell to 0, it increased its speed again. Avery grimaced and fought back the pressing darkness.
"Johnson?"
"Ma'am?"
"I'm going to pass out now."
"Understood. Alarm set for 15 and 5.
Avery knew the lieutenant commander could use the rest. Like the Marines and most of the militiamen, she hadn't slept at all in the 48 hours since the aliens' attack on Gladsheim. And Avery suspected she hadn't got more than a few hours of sleep a night since they'd ambushed the aliens on the freighter almost a month ago. Avery was trained to think tactically, but he appreciated that Jalon's responsibility for strategic planning could be equally exhausting. In the end, the plan to retake the Tiara had required both their expertise. Of the 7 grease buckets hurtling toward the Tiara, only the ones on the number 2 and 6 strands, Avery's and Jalon's respectively, carried militia strike teams. The other 5 were empty, decoys rigged with claymores linked to motion-tracking sensors. On Avery's recommendation, these 5 buckets would arrive at the Tiara early. Once they stopped inside the orbital's coupling stations, gantries would automatically extend. Any aliens curious enough to cycle the gantry's airlocks and inspect the buckets would get a nasty surprise. A narrow cone of round metal balls exploding outward with lethal force. The Claymore's projectiles would also shred the gantry's thin, flexible walls. But after stations 1, 3, 4, 5, and 7 were cleared of hostiles, the gantries were no longer necessary. The containers full of evacuees were going to pass through the Tiara without stopping. The previous evening, slightly more than 250,000 people had packed into 236 freight containers in Utgard's 7 elevator depots, secured themselves in a mix of vehicle and welcome wagon seats the Jotuns had furiously fastened to the containers' floors. Already 28 of the containers were on the strands in 14 coupled pairs. Every 5 minutes, another 7 pairs would begin to rise. And if everything went to plan, in less than 90 minutes from Loki's first mass driver shot, all the evacuees would be off the planet's surface. Of course, this was just the start of the evacuees' harrowing journey. Not only did the container pairs need to make it through the Tiara unmolested, but they also had to complete a much longer glide up the strands, almost halfway to the counterweight arc, in order to gain the momentum required to meet up with the propulsion pods Sif had prepositioned. Throughout all of this, the Tiara would have to remain perfectly balanced, even though the stress on its strands would be well beyond their tested limits. Loki would have his hands full, and Avery hoped the AI was as capable as Jalan believed it was. The staff sergeant felt his compad buzz inside his assault vest, alerting him that the decoy buckets were beginning their deceleration into the Tiara. 15 minutes to go, Avery thought, patting and pulling at his vest's pouches to make sure his weapons magazines were properly stowed. He had his battle rifle barrel up between his knees, but he'd exchanged his usual M6 pistol for an M7 submachine gun from Jalan's cache. With its high rate of fire and compact size, the M7 was perfect for close-quarters combat. The pouch that held the submachine gun's 60-round magazines was backed with hook-and-loop material. Avery ripped it from his vest and adjusted its angle so the magazines were an easy cross-chest pull. As he pressed the pouch firmly into position, he felt something dry and brittle crunch against his chest. Gingerly, he pulled one of Captain Ponder's Sweet William cigars from an interior pocket. He had forgotten it was there. In a final briefing on the Parliament Ballroom's balcony, the captain had given one cigar each from his dwindling supply to Avery and Byrne.
"You men light them when they're safe," Ponder had said, nodding toward the elevator anchors and the civilians gathering in the surrounding sheds.
It wasn't until now that Avery realized the captain had purposefully not included himself in their celebratory smoke. Ponder had known he wasn't going to make it, and the truth was, his staff sergeant's chances weren't that much better.